Welcome to the Anoka's Dynasty Podcast. This is Snap Reactions for Week 8 wide receiver position here. Arizona, it's pretty clear what the game plan is. Throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins and throw it a lot to DeAndre Hopkins. 12 catches, buck 59 and a touchdown in this game. 53 routes, 100% route participation, 13 targets on that. Just dominating. Huge volume the past 2 weeks, 27.1 points per game. Rondo had a big performance in this game as well, and is really the wide receiver two in this offense without Hollywood Brown available. Greg Dortch, the only other receiver to catch a pass. So when you really look at it, like, it feels more like a triad in this offense. Hopkins, Moore, Ertz right now. Without a lot of other stuff there, you know, some, you know, Benjamin four catches, but really outside of that, not a ton there. Robbie Anderson plays 7 snaps, 6 routes. That is behind Greg Dortch, is behind AJ Green. So that assimilation to the offense has not been going well yet for Robbie Anderson. Tough to have him in lineups at this point. All right, Atlanta, buy window still open on Drake London. I'm interested. Volume's really tough, but 5th best PFF grade. Hill, Brown, Diggs, Kupp. Those are the guys ahead of him. After him, Waddle, Olave, Ayuk, Chase. Really good company. Really, really good company. London is 12.1 expected points per game. Has 9.9. This feels like a buy low situation to me. That's pretty much it. Treating him, you know, would I give it on playoff first? I would. Like, we have proof of concept that he's really good. And I think that's a, you know, that's a, right? I'm hoping it's not 101, right? If you could sort of not give 101 in that, right? But if you can give sort of that 104 to 106 range, something like that, absolutely I would do that. And I'd add do a non-playoff first to do it. I would add to a non-playoff first to get it done for Drake London. Buffalo. Diggs is great. Touchdown was right in front of me. Got Jair Alexander basically all game. That's a down game from Gabe Davis, right? This is kind of the fluctuating wide receiver two game. There wasn't a ton of volume either. Like, this was a very weird feel to this game, honestly. They got up and just sort of, like, I don't know if they, like, dilly-dallied on offense, but, like, they didn't really do a ton. Like, they ran it more than they threw it, which isn't a Buffalo thing to do at all. A couple interceptions for Josh Allen. I thought there was, like, 5 interceptions I saw this week. I watched an unreasonably large amount of red zone this weekend because of, you know, I was traveling and at a tailgate I had it on. Just, like, I watched almost all of red zone. There was like 5 or 6 interceptions this week where I had literally no idea who the quarterback was throwing the ball to. There was one of Josh Allen. I was like, I can't even tell you who the intended receiver was on that play. So it was a weird one in that sense. But again, Davis, 2 catches, 35 yards, fluctuating up and down on a weekly basis. But still, again, this isn't a situation of participation, 26 to 30 route participation. Still feel pretty confident in the wide receiver two for the Bills. All right, next up we got Carolina. DJ Moore, 6 for 152, a touchdown, 1 costly unsportsmanlike conduct at the end of the game. So he still got it. Is it a little bit fluky because of the garbage time stuff? Maybe a little bit. But makes this big play in the double coverage. It was nice. I mean, the numbers check out. Like, this was a good game. And honestly, it would have been a good game even without sort of that long touchdown, right? He still would have had 90 yards and 5 catches, and 5 catches and on what would have been, what, 37 routes, 36 routes if you take away that play. Like, it's still a really good number. You know, 11, it would have been 10 targets on 36 routes. Like, that would have been really good if you just took that play out of it. So you feel pretty good about DJ Moore. Again, the quarterback stuff is weird. I don't think Philip Walker is by any means like the answer at quarterback, but I do think, like, as you look at this, like, there's an opportunity for DJ Moore to maybe get a little bit better quarterback play than he's been getting. And, it's a, I'm interested to see how this offense goes forward. Terrace Marshall is basically starting here, 36 of 38 routes. He goes 4 for 87, so good uptick there. He was targeted 9 times, so getting better involvement. That's pretty nice. If he's available in some shorter rosters, I think you're interested in that. In the past 2 weeks without Robbie Anderson, the routes here, 61 for DJ Moore, 59 for Terrace Marshall, and 12 for Laviska Shenault. So that kind of tells us what we need to know on Shenault, I think, at this point. All right, next up we have the Chicago Bears. It's basically the wide receiver two situation isn't usable. It's been better for Darnell Mooney of late. 1.7 yards per route run, right in line with last year's 1.72. So a bit of a bounce back of sorts. Only 9.7 expected points per game. That's the tough part of it. But I'm interested sort of if this offense can potentially rebound. I'm interested in watching if he's a better option in this, and like the wide receiver four type atmosphere than he was necessarily some of the wide receiver two type pub that he was getting early on in the season, or earlier on in the offseason, I should say. All right, Cincinnati, T. Higgins, big jump ball at the end of that game, which was nice, but missing Chase, so we'll watch sort of longer term on how that goes. Cleveland, Amari Cooper, pretty dominant performance here against Cincinnati. So, again, some of the comments in the group chat were, I think, spot on. Clint went with the reverse jinx, saying that T. Higgins not as good as Jamar Chase, and then within, like, literally the same minute, he sent that at 10:42, and it was at 10:42 as I was watching that the game. I literally thought it was a joke, and I had like it was some reverse psychology, but no, he actually reversed psychology and inspired the T. Higgins touchdown. And then some others had said, basically commenting on what Amari Cooper could offer John, he's going to smash when Deshaun Watson comes back. So hopeful there for all of that. Dallas, CeeDee Lamb, 5 for 77 and a touchdown. Wide receiver, 14 in expected points per game, which is at 15.5, but he's underperforming that with 14.6 points per game at wide receiver 19. So I think this situation's good. But again, this is why you don't pay top five prices for someone that hasn't done top five wide receiver work. That's the trap, and there's a big gap. It's not as big as at tight end, but it's a big gap between high-end wide receiver two and really good wide receiver, like high-end wide receiver one. Even mid to top half wide receiver one, like kind of where Lamb was, that's a lot to really, it's a lot to ask. And I think that was something we were advising against basically all offseason. And I think we've kind of seen that play out a little bit. And again, it's like, this isn't new. Like it's the DJ Moore experience. It's kind of what has happened with DJ Moore throughout his career. That's a down game for Sutton. Judy has a good one. Judy's wide receiver 28 at keep trade cut. He's wide receiver 28 of the season, but wide receiver 37 in points per game. Sutton is wide receiver 41 in points per game. So two disappointing seasons here. We've gotten some, I think Sutton has left a good bit on the table as well. Like when you look, he's involved in the red zone stuff and some of the deep passing game, just hasn't really got it. I could see Ross making a rebound here down the stretch and really taking a step forward, going forward in terms of where he can, where Sutton and Russ can get on the same page. That feels like the explosive potential outcome to me is those two guys. And I still feel like that's possible. And again, some of the negative touchdown luck that Russ has gotten, some of that's because it hasn't gone to Sutton, right? Like Sutton hasn't sort of gotten to cash in those opportunities that I think Russ typically creates. So I think that there's still a growth opportunity for Sutton, and I'm not nervous. I'm not really nervous on his wide receiver one ability in that offense yet. Detroit, Amon-Ra St. Brown back from his injury, 2.16 yards per route run. He's been targeted on 49 of 159 routes. It's really good. Khalif Raymond is elevated to a top three guy in this offense. 1.64 yards per route run. That was eye-opening to me. Reynolds is a wide receiver two in this offense, basically at 1.5 yards per route run. So they do a lot of three wide receiver stuff here in games that, frankly, are all over the place. So, you know, Raymond's going to be involved, you know, if this is going to be without Shark and, you know, some of the other guys in this offense have been banged up. You know, Raymond, I don't think he offers a ton, but it's interesting if a guy, if you have to stream him in a game you think is going to be high scoring, because Detroit can play a ton of high scoring games and really be throwing the ball around the lot. Green Bay, we saw Samori Torrey run 14 routes. He had the big touchdown there on that double move late in the fourth quarter. Dobbs, 31 routes, five targets. He got 4 for 62 and a touchdown there. Maybe developing a little bit. It's nice. Sammy Watkins held to one catch for 3 yards on 25 routes. Amari Rodgers, 17 routes. He went 1 for 22. Again, it's just they don't have a lot of answers. Christian Watson went out of this game with a concussion. It's just not a ton of answers in this passing game, and I think it's a really it's a tough watch, frankly, and it's tough to see sort of Rodgers going through a lot of this lack of development at the wide receiver position, really leaving some opportunity there for Rodgers. So, again, I'm sort of hopeful that they'll figure it out, but I don't see a clear answer. And it takes, if I was to sort of look at this, and again, I was talking about this in a different podcast, but maybe we're ahead of ourselves. But, if you look at the Rams, I don't see how the Rams have a clear answer. I guess the clear answer for Green Bay would be, all right, Dobbs really takes a step forward in the second half of the season, or Christian Watson gets healthy and can make a big difference. Problem is, I don't see that happening. Right? That's kind of my cause for concern there. So I don't necessarily love this offense going forward. I'm hopeful that they'll figure it out. I think LaFleur's a good coach. Maybe they pull a trade. Right? They'd be kind of crazy not to be in on this season. Maybe they're a team that's in on Brandon Cooks or something like that. But otherwise, I'm not really sure how this team makes a pivot here going forward. So, but we'll definitely be watching. But making an in-season trade isn't something that they do. So, I don't know. I'm super curious about how this offense will go. I'm hopeful just because, again, I have a hard time. And this is a fault. I'm losing a pool because I keep betting on, oh, there's no way that, I didn't bet on this week. But there's no way that Rodgers is going to go to, whatever record. That just doesn't seem possible. And again, then he loses. And same with Brady. There's no way Brady's not going to figure it out. There's no way McVay's not going to figure it out. You look at all these things, and I just keep over and over kind of making that bet. And it has been a hemorrhaging bet at this point. So I'm still optimistic. It hasn't been beaten out of me yet, but they're working real hard on it. Houston, a lot of trade rumors about Brandon Cooks potentially being on the market. Feels like a situation where he'd have to renegotiate his contract a bit. A lot of guarantees next year. I don't know if maybe that's an extent, they extend off it or I don't know what they'll do, but we'll be watching for that. I wouldn't give back a dollar if I were Brandon Cooks. I signed the deal. You pay me the money. That's pretty easy math equation in my book, but we'll watch for how that goes going forward. It's a decent number. It's more than 2 yards per route run in this game. Wide receiver one in snaps was actually Philip Dorsett, but one catch for 6 yards and a largely forgettable career for Philip Dorsett. Another game in that. All right. Indy. Paris Campbell's kind of a tough hold. I think he's kind of proven that he's not that good. Alec Pierce, 19 of 28 routes. Feels like the way he was playing a couple weeks ago, really should have been a better. He should be more used, and I can't believe that Paris Campbell is actually taking snaps away from Alec Pierce, considering some of the stuff that Alec Pierce has done. Again, 3 receptions, 65 yards, leads them in yards. I don't know. I think the Paris Campbell experience has kind of proven itself to not be that good. Alec Pierce at least offers some stuff that I think is just better than what Campbell has offered and has proven capable of offering so far in his career. So Alec Pierce, sort of deeper down the dial, an interesting name. You know, I don't think he's probably going to make waivers or anything like that, but the deeper stash name, you know, as and if the season sort of goes awry a little bit on them, like, he could be a name that's kind of overlooked, whether that's in the off season or going forward there. So it's just a name I'm sort of monitoring cost-wise. Again, when you sort of look at him in some of the, like, the rankings and whatnot, you just look at Keep Trade Cut has him. They have him at wide receiver 40. Again, that feels kind of appropriate. Again, I think if he slides a little bit, you feel better about that cost. But again, he's outplayed Paris Campbell. Like, it's just I don't know. It's interesting that he's not getting all that work, but they must not have that full confidence in him yet. So, yeah. But again, feels like one of the guys in that range. Remember last year, there weren't a ton of guys like in outside of like the top 45 or 50 that we're really interested in. There's rarely those in any given year. If Alec Pierce is sort of in that range, is probably going to be one of the guys we'd be interested in, depending if they get their quarterback situation fixed as well. All right, Jacksonville. Zay Jones, and this is like, I did a triple take on this. Zay Jones is actually wide receiver 24 in expected points at 14. He's only scoring 10.4 points per game. It's actually more expected points than Christian Kirk, which I found wild. He's wide receiver 14 actually on the season. Excuse me, wide receiver 24 on the season for Christian Kirk, despite Zay Jones actually expected more points for him. Zay Jones ranks sixth in end zone targets, but only has one touchdown. So really, like, when you look at it, I think is leaving some key, you know, just hasn't really gotten all the way to sort of where we, you know, the usage is good. Just hasn't cashed it in yet. Is he the type of player that's going to really, hammer home his usage pattern? No, but I think that there's probably some regression in this. And, you know, so I'm kind of optimistic about him going forward. I'd be curious to see, like, what you could get in, like, a betting market on Zay Jones versus Christian Kirk, because I bet you there's, like, zero chance that in the market Zay Jones outscores Christian Kirk. But yeah, some of the expectation stuff here is better for Jones, and I just find that really interesting here going forward. That's something we saw early on in the season. You know, it's consistently been good for him in this offense, so they like what they have there with him, and he offers a pretty valuable role in the offense. So I wouldn't, he's kind of, people have laughed at him and said, you know, if basically kind of dismissed him. But I think he's actually been kind of resurrected his career, so it's kind of good to see there for him and in Jacksonville. Chiefs and Chargers on a bye. Be interested to see if either team were to go out in the trade market. Kadarius Toney for basically the cost of a third-round pick. A lot of cost control on that. It makes a ton of sense, honestly, to me. And honestly, I believe in Andy Reid, especially with malcontent players, especially with guys that find themselves in trouble all the time, you know, that are doing stupid stuff. There's no better place for a player like that than with Andy Reid. So I'm interested in Tony sort of taking, you know, that next step of his career, getting out of getting out of New York. Another example of sort of that range I was talking about with Pierce, Tony's at wide receiver 42, right? So again, at that cost, I'd like Tony more than Pierce. But again, you sort of see the idea. If Pierce starts to slide a little bit because it's a rough second half of the season with a guy like Sam Ellinger at quarterback, even if you're seeing like some good, like especially if you're seeing some good metrics, you can sort of see how him being a value opens up. A guy like Tony, again, up in value the past couple of days because of the trade, or, you know, the past week, I guess, because of the trade. You know, you could see how he all of a sudden gets really overcooked if he starts going, you know, really without even playing. He starts vaulting up, you know, 5 to 10 spots here at the position. I still think that's the type of bet you make there. But I don't think it really speaks that much of a guy like Sky Moore either. I think it speaks more to the fact that they saw a discount. The other thing, too, you have to remember, like, that they have a big Mahomes contract that they've tried not to pay – You know, they moved on from Tyreek Hill, and they're trying to go sort of the inexpensive route at wide receiver, it appears. Tony is a good example of that. Are they going to pay Juju Smith-Schuster like top $20 million a year or something like that in the free agent market if he draws it? Again, he's performing pretty well. Kind of tough to see them doing that. And so having a guy like Tony as a cost control player, I think, fits their modus operandi. So I think it's interesting. So, you know, we'll just be sort of watching how that unfolds. I don't think it's a death knell or anything like that for Sky Moore. And if people treat it like that, I'm interested in buying more low. It's got to be low, low. I don't like buying a guy like Sky Moore for picks because it's a really good way to sort of, it's catching a falling knife. I'd much rather sort of use some situational guys to potentially buy a guy like Sky Moore. So I think that's really the play there. All right. So we talked enough about that team considering they're on a bye. The Rams, again, there's a Cooper Kupp soft tissue injury here. So we'll have to watch that. I'm sorry, an ankle injury with some tissue inflammation, I believe. So for what that's worth, I probably shouldn't say soft tissue injury. I don't know. It looks like he avoided any sort of major structural problem. Could be an ankle sprain. You know, I don't know. We'll just watch for that Kupp stuff this week. Van Jefferson's heading back. Allen Robinson's like less than 0.9 yards per route run on the season. Just pretty tough. Better game in this one, but man, it's a really tough spot. Vegas, it's a pretty familiar pattern with the exception of, I guess, really one player. Devontae Adams was like sick and banged, you know, just not feeling well apparently in this game. Caught one ball, 3 yards, ran 28 routes. He's kind of pulled out during the game as well. You know, Keelan Cole played a bit. Renfro and Mac Hollins basically led them in route participation. Mac Hollins, for his part, 7 for 64. So that's actually, you know, pretty good performance there in a game. They don't score any points. Just really, really rough there for them to get shut out. I think better days are ahead for this offense. But wow, that's a surprising outcome. And honestly, I think the Saints could win that division. Like that would not surprise me, given some of the talent that they have and Andy Dalton playing better. Hill and Waddle, top five guys in Miami. Just really incredible. Hill is wide receiver 3 in points per game behind Kupp and Diggs. So again, they're just really excellent there. Waddle's a little bit further down. He's a top 10 guy in expected points per game. In total points per game here at the position. Minnesota. And you've got some potential talk of them trying to add a wide receiver, so we'll watch for that. Justin Jefferson, wide receiver 4 on the season, 2.68 yards per route run. He's wide receiver 7 in expected points per game. Feel really confident in him going forward. Again, Thielen kind of filling his role there. Wide receiver 2, low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3 type. It's kind of set it and forget it when he's been healthy. Like that's kind of what has happened. New England, Parker with an injury, Jacoby Myers, 11 targets with Tyquan Thornton and Kendrick Bourne being basically the 2 and the 3. Nelson Aguilar only running 11 routes on 44 dropbacks. I'd be interested if he's in the potential trade market. It's something I've seen as well there. But don't really have a ton of good feelings outside of Jacoby Myers in this passing game. And maybe a speculative shot on Tyquan Thornton later. But again, I don't think that's something you're going to be able to make now. You either have him or like he's rostered. All right, the Saints. And we do see a little bit of a change here. So Marquez Callaway was basically running the Michael Thomas sort of role in this offense. Tre'Quan Smith was really kind of filling in for Jarvis Landry. We actually see a pretty big drop down here. So 31 routes, it's 25 for Chris Olave leading them. Tre'Quan Smith is actually second at 18. Kevin White runs 11. He plays more snaps than Marquez Callaway. Callaway runs 12 routes. So again, just one more than White, but has the feel of a guy that was going from you know, kind of wide receiver one by necessity with some people out, to very much closer to wide receiver five than wide receiver one. So not something that we love there. And again, he went one catch for 10 yards. So if there's an injury there to report or anything like that, didn't see anything, but I think he's going to be a guy who potentially can cut, maybe move away from. Tre'Quan Smith gets blanked in this one. So again, that's the dangerous bet that you make with a wide receiver sort of down there. Like, pretty good chance they're not very good. All right. The Giants. So it's Marcus Johnson, it's Darius Slayton, it's Wandale Robinson, you know, with the bulk of the participation. It's David Sills and Richie James combining for 8 routes. You can cut both of them. Slayton goes 5 for 66. Wandale Robinson 2 for 15. Marcus Johnson 1 for 3. Like, so yeah, I mean, to me, Darius Slayton's an interesting one because, like, I've seen him kind of do it before. He's an interesting one. Wandale Robinson definitely feels like that, you know, kind of that force feed slot guy in a game that they didn't perform well. There's probably better days for Robinson ahead, but I'd be tepid in terms of making a big, you know, making a big investment in him or anything like that to be a difference maker going forward. I don't love it. He's ahead, for example. He's ahead of the other guys we talked about, like Kadarius Toney, in that range. Like, I can't get on board with that. So just a clear avoid at that cost for me. Like, I'd much rather take one of those other bets, like, later on than to take Wandale Robinson that high. All right, next up we have the New York Jets, excuse me. Garrett Wilson, 42 routes on 43 dropbacks. Targeted 7 times, 6 for 115. Didn't score, but a really good performance there, a bounce back. Remember, there was no Corey Davis. Elijah Moore runs 10 routes. That's actually 5th on the wide receiver depth chart. Just brutal. I mean, he played 10 snaps and ran 7 routes. So that's 5th. Both are 5th on the Jets wide receiver depth chart. So really limited in terms of his involvement. Needs to get traded, frankly. Needs to get traded. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. This thing looks pretty bleak for that partnership. And Garrett Wilson, I think, has a really good chance of elevating at the position, especially with no Corey Davis, with Elijah Moore basically being useless, essentially, at this point, from a fantasy perspective anyways, and they don't have the confidence to put him in games. Like, Garrett Wilson could all of a sudden become a target hog in a way that I wasn't coming into the season. I was like, God, does he have sort of that ceiling opportunity? Because I don't know how it's all gonna fit together. Like, yeah, it turns out, like, yeah, some of these things can kind of take care of themselves over the long haul. All right, Philly, A.J. Brown went in a total God mode in this game. He goes 6 catches, north of 150, and 3 touchdowns. 11 targets there, according to ESPN, 10 from PFF. So that's, you know, a really good share of the routes he's targeted on. Big time performance on those targets and those routes. So exciting there for him. Devonta Smith is wide receiver 35 and expected points per game at 12.4. Just really, really tough to get. Like, again, that's fine, but it's really tough to sort of get difference making production out of what I, size wise, he has limitations and frankly, his limitations in role, because A.J. Brown's an excellent, excellent elite wide receiver, and it's just tough because Devonta Smith competing with that for targets, a lot of them are going to go the other way. All right, Pittsburgh, and 4 for 45 for Chase Claypool. We're watching a potential trade. 5 for 35 for Deontay Johnson. We're watching a potential trade. Maybe he's a beneficiary. George Pickens is blanked. I don't have a ton to really report here other than you just hope that the team is not trying to actually get Kenny Pickett, like, killed. Like, he had some pretty bad comments this week about how basically the offensive line wasn't doing anything, essentially, which seemed like a negative EV play for someone standing behind the offensive line, but hey, it takes different types of leadership styles to make it happen. Seattle, I mean, DK Metcalf coming back. We were making fun of I was, anyways. I'm not even going to cast this on it. I was making fun of Pete Carroll saying, oh, yeah, we think there's a good shot that DK Metcalf can play this week. And I'm like, wait a second. Like, every other indication was that he couldn't. And it was early that Carroll was making these pronouncements. And lo and behold, he comes through and plays. So, really surprising overall. When you look, he has 12.8 points per game. He's expected for 14.3, so basically a point and a half below. When you look at Lockett, he's actually has 14.7, and he's expected for 13.2. So they're basically swapped. So Lockett overperforming by a yard and a half, Metcalf or a point and a half per game, Metcalf underperforming by a point and a half per game. Just a notable feature there to think about. San Francisco, it's no Debo. Ayuk steps up 6 for 81 and a touchdown. Be really curious to see sort of how this fits together ultimately in terms of route participation once we get a healthy Debo back. For example, Ray McLeod ran 20 routes in this game. Like that just can't happen. We'll at least need 13. Like again, that can't happen. Like you need to get either Danny Gray involved or Debo, right? Like when these guys get back, you know, Danny Gray is fourth wide receiver, like with only 5 snaps and 1 route. Like that can't be, right? Especially behind journeyman guys ahead of him. So, we'll watch for how Debo fits in with this offense. We're going to watch for Danny Gray's involvement ultimately. And if he's going to, if he provides something of value, and the chances are he doesn't, but if he does, I'm interested sort of going forward what he could do in this offense, from a fit perspective, just because I do think Shanahan's a pretty good innovator. I don't know how helpful that is for our purposes, but I do think he's an innovator. And heck, they can shut down the Rams basically at will. So there's that too. All right, next up we've got Tampa. Again, it's Mike Evans and it's Chris Godwin. Just kind of disappointing a bit this season. The whole offense has been a disappointment. I'm confident they're going to get it back. Hopefully. I'm crossing my fingers, rooting for it. Tennessee, 55 receiving yards. I can't even comment more on that other than to say that Robert Woods basically had 50% of them, 2 catches for 26 yards. So just short of 50% of them. So awesome job from him. And then basically nothing else. So there's that. And then Washington. McLaurin, not really a beneficiary. I thought he was going to be a big beneficiary. I went back and I looked like in splits, out of splits for when Heinicke was playing. It's basically dead even. When he's not playing, they score basically like 0.3 of a point better he scores. There's no real rhyme or reason. It's basically like a half a target more per game. I don't think there's an impact there with if it's Heinicke or whoever it is. So I think McLaurin has basically proven that he's quarterback proof from a floor perspective. The ceiling stuff kind of hurts a bit, but again, it hasn't really mattered. And I think he can play, right? So I think that's the big deal there. When you look, Curtis Samuel, again, playing behind Cam Sims. We need Jahan Dotson back. Cam Sims with another 1 for 21. Like, my God, get us Jahan Dotson back because at least he's exciting when he runs, like, a lot of routes and doesn't get targeted. So we'll be watching for all that. Again, this is snap reactions for the wide receiver position. Hope this helped you sort of digest where we are at. And we'll put a wrap on the show. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.